So what that really, that concept comes from is a Harvard project on American Indian economic development. And the Harvard project is the result of over 30 years of research in Indian country as far as what works and what hasn't worked. So they've done extensive research across the nation, and really kind of what they found is it doesn't necessarily, you know, those tribes that are most successful economically, it isn't really based on, you know, the tribes with the most land or the biggest population or that have a lot of financial resources, but that there's really a lot about capable governing institutions and strong administrative systems and clear policies, having a real strong tribal court, making sure that your business and politics are really separated from each other. Supporting that citizen entrepreneurship. So how do you as a tribal government really support private business and entrepreneurs? And are your governmental services, you know, really fitting the needs of the membership? And then what are those relations with other governments? So there's kind of those key elements into this. So again, it's looking at it more comprehensively and not just in an economic development sort of box. Let's see. I'm thinking we might want to skip through some of these just in the interest of time. So if you could just go through all the white ones, keep going. So we did have Dr. Stephen Cornell come. Go ahead, just keep going through. We did have Dr. Stephen Cornell of the Harvard Project come and meet with the council back in March. And he and his colleagues have actually also started the Native Nations Institute at the University of Arizona, which is now where he is. And he came and spent a few hours with the council just really talking about the nation building concept, some of his work, and then really kind of listening to council as to the specific needs and issues here in the valley. And part of that was a visioning session. And so what you guys will see over there on the wall on the right-hand side is the result of that visioning session, where we really started to start with the foundation of a traditional hupa economy, kind of thinking about where we are today and then where the tribe wants to head in the future. And then to the left there is some of the outcomes of just the discussion with Dr. Cornell. So as he was kind of bringing these concepts forward, just some of the ideas and really kind of thoughts that the council had regarding those particular issues. So, yeah, that's good, thanks. No, go away. One more. All right. So thinking about just the process that we took through this, there were different roles in this. So tribal council provided leadership, guidance, developed that overarching vision and the goals, and then the council will obviously approve the final plan as well. Okay, so we really relied on the council to provide that broad vision. Then we developed a SEDS committee, and their role was to develop the final overarching strategies based on data, experience and their particular expertise. And we also developed a strategy subcommittee. And this was comprised of tribal enterprise directors and managers and those from the entities. And their role was really to share ideas based on their own expertise and experience. And then the SEDS committee really also relied on that subcommittee's input into developing these final overarching ideas. And then obviously the community, we're looking for you to share additional input based on your own experience and expertise, and then also reviewing the draft plan and providing input on that. So here's just a quick look at who the SEDS committee members were. We sort of had a fluid process, I will say, in that. You know, some of these folks kind of designated staff at various meetings. So it was much more comprehensive, I would say, than this as far as who actually provided input. And then similarly with the strategy subcommittee. Okay, so the process that we took as far as from, you know, where we started back in March with the kickoff meeting with Dr. Cornell and the tribal council to where we are today. I won't go through this in detail, but essentially just, you know, we really tried to hit each committee, council, doing planning, providing that overview, getting input, and so we really spent several months kind of just talking through ideas, trying to vet different ideas that people had. So if someone had an idea, then talking to the relevant staff that may have expertise and really finding out, is this really viable? You know, will this really work? What are some of the obstacles? How should we really be looking at this? So this was kind of a long process, and then we sort of had a short hiatus as councils changed. We were sort of asked to kind of stop for a moment until the new council came on. And as soon as that happened, we had a briefing meeting with Chairman Jackson, who just really kind of supported the continuance of the process and you know, requested that we continue to move forward with what we had been doing. So that planning process continued. We had several more meetings with the various groups. And then we started to really get the ideas down on paper. And so that's where the first version of the draft action plan came, which was kind of just a list of ideas at that time that, again, still really needed to be vetted and figured out what was really viable. And so there were some really great discussions with the committee members about that, and a revised draft came out of that discussion. So then the draft action plan was presented in detail to the tribal council in a planning session, and some further revisions were made based on that discussion. And so what you guys have available in the back, it's titled Hoopa Valley Tribe Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy, Working Draft of Action Plan Version 3.5, is essentially what we have to date for our action plan. And the track changes mode that you see, so the different color in the font, that's the input from council in this last round. Okay, so you can see what came out of the committees and then the changes that came from the last council meeting. So, and here we are today, presenting it to the membership. So as well as just input from the committee members and staff and such, there was also background research conducted, so tribal constitution, all the tribal codes, the enterprise and entity charters that were made available to me, existing feasibility studies. So I went to the records department and looked at several shelves of feasibility studies to kind of see, you know, where different projects were at, because a lot of the similar ideas were kind of coming up. And so there was a question, you know, what was sort of the stopping point? Why didn't this go forward? I'm trying to kind of figure that out. There was two recent strategic plans that were done by the tribe that were looked at. Previous SEDs, so there's a binder of SEDs previously that you guys have completed all the way back from the 70s to the 2000s. So those were looked at to kind of see what had been accomplished, what was still kind of on the table, what were those reoccurring ideas that keep coming up. I also looked at the general membership meeting notes from the last meeting, and you'll see a lot of sort of overlap or integration, I should say, of some of the ideas that came up from you guys from the last membership meeting that Chairman Jackson just spoke about. And so those are trying to be integrated into this SEDS action plan as well. We also did a review from the Department of Commerce, provided information as to existing businesses, both on the reservation and those that are incorporated under the tribal business code. So we had kind of a sense of who's really doing business, even if you don't really see it out and about. But there's a lot of people that have in-home businesses or really great ideas that just, you know, kind of need that next step to really launch things. So that was really helpful seeing, and it's pretty amazing to see how many businesses there really are here and the potential. So how does the tribe really cultivate and support that is really kind of the question. And then we also looked at the lots of other information as far as land management plans and different things. The planning department also developed a survey of local private business owners, so that was really helpful to kind of see, which had sort of gotten assistance from the tribe in some way, or assistance that may be provided, and some of what their opportunities that they see for business and a lot of what their challenges are. And then there was lots of direct staff consultation. This is not even close to the whole list, but a lot of just talking to people individually and, again, trying to vet those ideas and see what would work. And as a kind of another side piece, Dr. Cornell looked at the tribe's constitution and gave some ideas sort of about the constitution. Okay, so all of that, we arrived at our draft action plan. So really starting fundamentally with the mission of the tribe, which is to preserve, promote, and protect the culture, sovereignty, and natural resources of our Hoopa Valley tribe, and creating long-term economic prosperity and self-reliance for future generations. So that's really the overarching piece of what we're trying to accomplish here with the mission. So we have developed through this process 5 primary goals. So the first is a strong and diversified Hoopa Valley economy with essential goods and services available locally. Okay, so that what you need should be here available locally in the valley. Decrease unemployment and poverty by transforming from a government-based economy to a private sector economy. So this is a big one. This is a big kind of shift, right? How do you leverage the $70 million approximate dollars that the tribe gets annually? How can you leverage that to support private business? The third is to provide a private business climate, that nurtures entrepreneurship, business growth, and strategic tribal government support. Advance for-profit tribal enterprises focused on generating revenue and providing tribal employment opportunities. And the last is the goal of a quality of life that is safe and secure, stimulates a strong sense of community, sustains Hoopa culture and lifeways, ensures a biodiverse and healthy natural environment, and promotes self-sufficiency. Okay, so those are the goals, and then within that we have specific strategies, okay? And then each strategy has actions within that. So the first strategy A, is to enhance the capacity for planning and development to address the needs in the valley. So in order to reach those goals, really the tribe needs the capacity for planning and development. And so what does that need look like? And so there's specific actions related to that. Strategy B is to conduct valley-wide planning for community and economic development. And so this is one area it really integrates with the council's action plan in developing that general land use plan, that zoning ordinance, and all of that. So that's one example of one of the actions under Strategy B. Strategy C is to stimulate and nurture entrepreneurship and small business by leveraging tribal government resources. Strategy D is to improve the ability to educate, train, and retain a quality workforce. So making sure that people are prepared to work, there's clear career pathways for people, really making that connection between what's offered for education and training to what the needs of the tribe are and the needs of the valley are, making that close connection. And then the last one, strategy E, is to enhance strategic development of tribal enterprises and insulate business from tribal politics. Okay, so how do you improve upon what you guys are already doing in the realm of tribal enterprise, and how do you make sure that those businesses are really separate from the government? Okay, so the next steps is to get input on the draft action plan. So we've developed an online survey that you can do on your computer, and it also works on smartphones. So that's on Survey Gizmo. And I was told that in the sign-in sheet, everybody should be able to write their email down. So if you haven't done that, please make sure that we get your email, and we'll be just sending out an email to those folks with the link to Survey Gizmo so you can fill out the survey. It takes, people say, about 40 minutes or so to fill out. But what it is it'll actually go through every single action within the action plan, and you'll be able to identify, yes, I think this should be in the SEDS, or no, I do not think it should. And if you respond no, then you're allowed an opportunity to explain why you don't think it should be in there. And if you respond yes, then you're asked to rate the urgency of the project. So is it immediate? Is it term, where you think it should be done in the next 1 to 2 years? Is it midterm, which it should be completed in the next 3 to 5 years, or is it more of a long-term project, which is 6 to 10 plus years? Okay, and just keep in mind, this SEDS is typically a 5-year plan, okay? And then you'll also be able to identify the importance. So is it critical, is it highly important, moderately important, or of low importance to you? Okay, so we've already sent that survey out to the committee members, and several people have responded, and that will really help us kind of take that next step of the plan of identifying, okay, for these actions, who's going to be responsible for what, what's the time frame, and then we'll start thinking about potential funding. For those people that don't have access to computer or smartphones, we have a hard copy survey also that's available in the back, and similar thing, you can, you know, go through yes or no, urgency or importance, and then you can drop those off with the planning department or mail them to the planning department when those are completed. Okay, and then once we get input back, we're gonna give people, I think we talked about 2 weeks to provide input, and then we hope to have a community meeting that'll just be specific to the SEDS. So we'll go through the action plan in detail because, you know, a lot of it, there's sort of context that's needed to really understand kind of each specific action. So we'll be planning to do that to give you another opportunity to go through it in more detail. And I'll be working on drafting the actual SEDS plan, so the more comprehensive narrative that will go along with it. Like I said, it's the background, sort of the process, all those sort of elements that need to be into the larger document. Then that whole thing will be provided back to the committees and council for review. And then once it's those changes and revisions are made, then it will be provided to the general membership for a 30-day public comment period on the entire plan. And then once that is completed, it will be presented back to the council for approval. Okay, I think that's it. Oh yeah, I made it for lunch. do we want to do questions or? Okay, is there, if anybody has any questions? Yes, we have a couple minutes.
Yeah, go ahead, Nora. Thanks. Oh, you don't have a mic.
On the list, it's certainly important to address the need for employment, but my experience working with the tribe, and I'm sure we all agree that our membership and those who are employable need to get clean and sober first. So that would be certainly, I'm hoping, a priority for number two, that we could work on making our workforce employable with sustainability so that they would be working on their sobriety, and we would encourage that. I know we've tried many things over the last 20 years, and certainly that continues. That was the number one priority for our previous strategic planning efforts we did in the last probably 12 years, that getting our community to a place of being clean and sober and employable and supporting their sobriety was the number one priority.
Thanks, Nora. Plenty. There we go.
Wanda McCovey. One of the things I wanted to bring up, and it really hasn't been discussed much, and as part of this whole planning process, and when it comes to any kind of groundbreaking for economic development, or be it new housing under HUD or a rehab facility, we really need to look at streamlining this NEPA process and doing the environmental reviews. We have the internal capabilities to actually get these checklists done if we have somebody that's knowledgeable in order to actually compile the documents and get the actual biological opinions and the checkoffs from, I understand the museum now has the Tribal Historic Preservation Office. That's part of the process. So if we have all these things in place, we can streamline a lot of these roadblocks that could take up to 6 months at times that really can hinder projects. And so I'm looking at possibly forming some sort of team within the tribe, something that we can fall back on as far as having a strategy in place to address these issues as they arise, because this is something that we are going to come across in any kind of new economic development or new development of any kind of groundbreaking. So that's what I wanted to add.
Thanks, Blaine.
Glenna Moore, tribal member. I really want to commend the SEDS Planning Committee and Megan and others that worked on this strategic plan. I'm pretty impressed, and I think this is a great start, and I'm actually going to address the rest of you to fill out the survey. You know, this is what we always talk about, having community input into the planning process, and this is our opportunity to make comments and to add if we see something or we don't see something that we want. This is our opportunity to make comment and to get our own thoughts, opinions, and you know, if we want something and we don't see it, let's do something about it. This is our opportunity. And so, you know, I'm going to fill this out. I hope everybody here and anybody that's not here share that so that we can move forward. You know, if we've had strategic plans on the shelf since the 70s, you know, I don't know whether they've been put out there for public comment. Possibly they have, but you know, here at our meeting, this is a good opportunity for us to share with each other and then move forward. So please, everybody, fill out the survey.
Thank you. Joe?
Now? Oh, there we go. Sorry about that. I'm very happy to hear of your strategic planning. The last general meeting, I brought up this book. I'm sold on it. The man has done a good study, or the Harvard study, on strategic plans. I'm supportive of it, and I just want you to know that I do hope that there is a chance to get more community members. I notice your committee is mostly tribal employees. I personally didn't know that there was a committee even existing and working on this. So I'm not saying I'm always in the know, but as a tribal member, a non-employee, I didn't know it was even happening. So I'm glad to see that happening. I do have a question in regard to the tribal council, because I want to say that I'm a big supporter of our little sawmill, big supporter of that and the few employees that we have down there. When we first started that and put a proposal together, we were, as a council, we were sold on the idea that we were going to turn saw logs or cull logs into vertical grain, high quality vertical grain merchandise. That was what our idea was, and we were going to make it happen because we had lots of calls. Our timber is on the wane. Most of it's overripe, so we end up with lots of good vertical grain. We wrote a proposal. We got a sawmill. We put it together. They have been working down there. But I don't know what the status of it is. I'm hearing rumors that it's making money or it's breaking even, or another rumor that it's not breaking even. So I don't know what the true status of that is. But I did hear recently that the tribal council has approved a new direction for that sawmill, and that new direction is to take a small portion of our stumpage, good logs, and run it through that sawmill. Now, I'm not opposed to that, but I am concerned that we're trying to talk strategic planning, and I don't know what the status of our vertical grain process is. I don't know if we've made money or we've been able to sell it or market it. But then now we hear the rumors that it isn't making money, so we have to go in another direction. So I'd like to know, you know, how we've gone about making that decision to take our good saw logs and run it through there. I'm not opposed to it. I know we've been talking sawmills for this reservation for a long time. So those are my questions, and I just want to comment you today, Mr. Chairman. I like your process. I like what you're doing with the agenda today, and giving us an overview. It was easy to understand, and it wasn't bogged down on lots of talk. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Joe. Where did Megan sneak off to? Maybe Joe can address the community input and further community meetings related to the SEDS, and is there an opportunity for community members to be a part of the committee and the planning process?
So first I'd like to say that on each of the tables back here, there's copies of the action plan itself. At the very top of that, on the first page, it has the web link that you can access to fill out the survey. You can also put your email down and we'll send you the survey. It'd be very helpful for us to get as many as possible online, but there is also a paper copy of the survey there. We don't have a whole lot of them, but feel free to take one and make copies for others and distribute them. Within the next couple weeks, you can, you know, put them in our planning office box, drop them off here, send them by mail to planning, PO Box 1348. That's going to be really helpful. We want to get as many people as possible involved. We haven't set a date yet for the next meeting. We're going to hold another hearing on the SEDS where people can come and give their comments. You can also provide written comments, send them into the planning office or drop them off here. And after that meeting, we will present it to the tribal council. And they will eventually approve it. There's going to also be a 30-day comment period, which I believe will begin after the next SEDS meeting, SEDS hearing, which will be, you know, a place where we can focus just on the SEDS. You know, I know we have a lot of topics covered here today, but there'll definitely be a lot more time for people to come and give their input, and we want as many people as possible involved. We know everyone has a lot of good ideas, and you know, the more we can get, the more people will be committed to making sure this succeeds as well. So please be involved with this process.
Thanks, Joe. Let me address the second question on the sawmill first before we move on to another question. The sawmill, now that's currently operating, I think isn't what the original vision of a sawmill was for the tribe. I've seen goals and objectives from the 70s, 80s, 90s through 2000 that identified the need for a sawmill or a lumber mill here on the reservation. It's from, you know, a $20 million operation and then some to sort of what we have now, which is very modest. When I came out of the council in around 2010, 2011, I think the history was that there had been an independent group that had an operation there, was taking our coal logs and sawing them and making a product and some profit. The relationship soured. I presume I wasn't here at that time. But when I came on the council, there was a discussion about trying to recover some value in what was being left on the landings or in the woods to either rot or be used for firewood. At that time, we decided we would make the investment in a small portable, it was a portable mill, and it still is a portable mill that we purchased. We also invested in a few other things and began to cut lumber. And to be honest, not to try to shy away from the issue, I believe, Joe, you were a part of the council as well and were supportive of it. I believe Councilman Billings was here as well. There was always a difficulty in capturing the information related to the financial status of the mill. And periods of time, we'd get some information back that would look like, you know, positive information, and the mill would continue to operate. Recently, you know, the fire there that happened at HFI destroyed a lot of the documents, the potential for gathering of information that created a setback. The Hoopa Forest Industries also lost their accountant. We have yet to actually hire a new accountant there. And that gets into a whole separate area of a lack of folks here in and around the valley to provide that type of service, accounting. We are close to hiring an accountant here within the tribe to be able to focus more on the enterprises and get some of the information together that the membership wants and deserves and should see. But what we've done with the sawmill, and directly related to your question, for now, we're trying to gather as much information as we can related to the inventory that we have there, the costs associated with the labor that's also there at the sawmill. And the council made a decision to, if this is something that we are going to do, we can't continue the operation that we have. This is a discussion the council had, and not everybody was in favor of moving forward. I'll just put that out there. We need to understand what's the value in a high-grade log. Can we produce a cant, if you will, or some other piece of high-grade lumber at our mill at a cost and realize a profit from that? Because what we do currently is ship all of our logs directly to lumber mills. They do all of the work and make all of the profit. And several years ago, the council actually had decided, well, let's take a portion of the, I think it's Pine Creek R timber sale, specifically Unit 33, and send a majority of that lumber or those logs to our mill to see what we can capture from a high-grade log, as opposed to having to work, you know, mostly rotten or mostly bad quality wood, and having to, you know, turn it and do all these different things, which takes time and money. the Unit 33 was sat for a number of years, at least a year, without any direction on what we were going to do with it. Hoopa Forest Industries came to us. We had an open contract for Pine Creek R. We needed to do something with it. The decision was made to send a portion of it, a majority of it, of the trees and the logs to Herbert Lumber. So majority of the work and the costs associated with that are being paid for by Herbert Lumber in the normal process that we go through. We identified 60,000 board feet that we said we would utilize for our own lumber mill. We identified a stumpage, although it was a reduced stumpage, it was near what we would capture, what we are capturing by sending the logs to Herbert Lumber. So we felt comfortable in doing that. And so to get to the accountability of what we're trying to do, if this is essentially a small feasibility study on whether or not a mill such as what we have can actually produce these types of products and these specialty items and make a realize a greater profit than what we realize by sending our logs directly to different lumber mills, we have staff accountants that are tracking the costs from the moment a tree hits the ground, the moment to a tractor begins to construct a road, to the moment that it's either yarded or skid to the landing. All of those costs are being captured from the beginning until it reaches the mill. The labor associated with what it will cost to actually produce the lumber to the selling point. So, again, it's 60,000 board feet. It's not a whole heck of a lot of lumber, but we felt as a council, and it's an issue that's been lingering out there for some time. We need to really see what we can do with that. If this is something that we're going to do and continue to commit to, or just do with fits and starts, that's not going to work anymore. We need to understand what is the value of our trees, and if it's something that we can do. So. At the end of the process, we'll compile all the information. At that point, make a determination if this is something that we want to invest in more, if there are different pieces of infrastructure that we want to put in place to begin to expand on the operation, or if it's just, you know what, this isn't really going to work. This is a good concept. It's something that, like I've said before, there have been a number of priorities set or goals and objectives that have identified a sawmill. So that is the process that we are going through. And it really gets down to the old growth that we have left. Everybody knows that that's not going to last forever. You know, we only have anywhere from 10 to 15 years, maybe 15 years left of old growth as far as selling a timber sale, and the primary product that you're producing is from an old growth tree. A lot of the sales now are a mixture of second growth, and the value goes down in having to sell those types of trees. That's just, there's not as much value in a second growth tree, obviously an old growth tree. So the vision of the council started several decades ago, but was to see if we can capture as much from our resources possible. And if that meant we could do that by employing tribal members, creating some economic development, then that's what we're going to be doing. So hopefully that answers the question. Again, if it's it wasn't unanimous amongst the council to move forward on that. There was some concerns about, you know, some of the issues that you do raise, you know, financial statements and the ability for us to actually make a profit. But we felt we needed to know. We needed to know if this is something that we can do or should do, and make a presentation to the membership to say this is a direction that we're headed. So.
Is it my turn?
Sure. We got one more question.
Just wanted to ask you, Ryan, well, I had asked you in the past and you said I can bring it up to the whole council. I was reading your packet because I do have one, and if they wanted to run off some copies, I haven't marked on it yet.
Yeah.
They can, because I see your secretary and receptionist are here. I was looking in here, where do the handicap fit in? Because I was told we had two handicap employees of the tribe. I went to both of them and they go, I'm not handicapped. So I don't see handicap employees. I know they did when I was going to school, they did fix the handicap door. We don't even have a handicap door at Kamau Medical Center. And I'm not just complaining for myself. We have elders here that are, some of these doors are tough. I mean, but at least at the bank, they have a door. A handicap door. So I'm kind of fighting like now for the handicap people, because when you get in a position that you can't open doors, or you have to push doors harder, or you got to wait till you're squeezed in your walker or cane or whatever, it is different. But I was looking at this and I didn't see any jobs for a handicap. And my understanding is when you write grants and everything, there's supposed to be some job for handicapped people, and I just don't see it yet. But you answered it for me, but I'm just bringing it out now to your council because you and I spoke about it.
Sure.
Thank you.
Hey, nope. I appreciate that. I think it's clear the tribe has to address the lack of infrastructure for handicapped people, and there's no doubt about it. You know, in a lot of areas, or I shouldn't say a lot of areas, I mean, you've identified a few where we are not ADA compliant. And, you know, we do need to address that. I mean, we can't just expect that a handicapped parking space in front of a building is adequate for the needs of folks who are handicapped. If there are other organizations within the tribe that need to improve the infrastructure to address the needs of all of our tribal members, handicapped or otherwise, then we need to identify those deficiencies and address them. So I appreciate the comment, and I'm glad that's being brought to the council and an issue being brought to the forefront, and we will address it. Thank you. Okay, we're going to break for lunch. Just wanted to point out that there are tables at the on top of the gym here. Those are for elders. Elders will be in fact served. Everyone else, you're gonna have to stand in line. I apologize. Yeah. Yeah, I guess before we get started, well, Shane will offer another blessing, and we can go from there. But yeah, there's seating up at the top for elders, and we can you can be served.
Dear Lord, with humble hearts, we thank you for the food that we are about to receive, and for the many blessings that you bestow on us. In Christ's name.